I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddhas, the Dharma, the assembly of saints, and the virtuous merits that I collect by the practice of giving and the other perfections. May I attain the state of a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddhas, the Dharma, and the assembly of saints. From the virtuous merits that I collect by the practice of giving and the other perfections, may I attain the state of a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddhas, the Dharma, and the assembly of saints. From the virtuous merits that I collect by the practice of giving and the other perfections, may I attain the state of a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. May all beings have happiness in the causes of happiness. May all beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all beings never be separated from the bliss which is sorrowless. May all dwell in equanimity, free from aversion and clinging. The ground is covered with flowers and sprinkled with scented water. In the middle is Mount Meru, surrounded by the four continents and ornamented by the sun and the moon. By visualizing all this and offering it as a Buddha realm, may all sentient beings partake of the Buddha's pure lands. Om Guru Buddha Bodhisattva Saparivara Ratna Mandala Puja Mega Samundra Saparana Samaye Om. Welcome to Sakyapandita's Clarifying the Sage's Intent. Tonight's lesson will be on the ultimate fruit, or the ultimate result, which is another way of saying enlightenment. Last time we talked about the 10 bhumis leading up to enlightenment, and now we will talk about what is it like to be a Buddha? The term Buddha, according to Ape Rinpoche, refers to one who has abandoned all the faults or impurities and has attained fully complete realization. The impurities referred to here are the two obscurations, the obscuration of defilements and the obscuration of phenomena. Buddha has completely discarded every defilement as well as all conceptual thoughts. By way of clarification, when the three lower Aryas are exalted, Bodhisattvas overcome defilements, there's still a residue remaining. On the other hand, Buddha has overcome not only the roots of all impurities, but also their residues. Therefore, he is said to possess the perfection of complete relinquishment, or the abandonment of all impurities. Fully complete realization refers to the fact that Buddha knows the true nature of all phenomena, in addition to knowing all phenomena exactly as they are, according to their conventional characteristics. One should be aware that realization has two aspects. One is to know what things are according to their ultimate nature, and the other is to know all things as they are individually at the conventional level. Buddha possesses both of these omniscient cognitions. This is just a brief explanation of the meaning of complete, perfect realization. The kayas of the Buddha. It is said that Buddha possesses three bodies, or kayas: Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, and Nirmanakaya. The Dharmakaya, or the truth body, the first kaya is known either as the Dharmakaya or the Sambhavakaya. These terms refer to the non-differentiability of the two purities and the 21 classes of undefiled qualities acquired by Buddha. The two purities are primordial purity, that is, the natural purity of ultimate reality, and the purity consisting of being free from obscurations. The Sambhogakaya, or the enjoyment body. This is a Buddha residing in the pure Buddha realm, who is endowed with the five certainties or definite features. First is the certainty of place, which means akanishta. Secondly, certainty of physical features means adorned with the 32 major marks and 80 minor marks. Three, the certainty of teaching means exclusively Mahayana teachings. Four, the certainty of retinue means only bodhisattvas on the 10th bhumi. And fifth, certainty of time means unceasing or for as long as samsara exists. And third is the Nirmanakaya, the emanation body. The Nirmanakaya arises spontaneously from the Sambhogakaya. It dwells wherever there are disciples to be trained, whose number is said to equal the entirety of space. Its time frame is uninterrupted. All its activities are carried out for the sole purpose of benefiting beings. The Nirmanakaya may be further subdivided into three. Birth Nirmanakayas, which appear in various kinds of births, such as the one dwelling in Tushita. Secondly, the highest emanations or supreme Nirmanakayas, which are emanations in the form of Buddhas, such as Shakyamuni Buddha. And third, the artisan Nirmanakayas, the particular manifestations Buddha assumes in order to lead particular beings onto the path. An example is the violin player emanated by Shakyamuni Buddha in order to tame Supriya, the king of the Gandharvas. The Nirmanakayas and the Sambhogakaya may be collectively classed as Rupakaya, thus subsuming Buddha's kayas into two. If it is asked whether or not Buddha has a mind, the answer is that the Buddha does not have a mind because he has completely eliminated adventitious stains. If it is asked whether Buddha has transcendental gnosis, the answer is that he has transcendental gnosis because, due to his omniscience, he's able to answer anything he is asked. The transcendental gnosis results from the complete transformation of his mental continuum at the time of full enlightenment. The Buddha's qualities. Ancient Indian scholars composed many verses about the Buddha's myriad qualities. His qualities are also described in two sections of special prayers or praises to Buddha, one by Maitreya and the other by Sakyapandita. It is said that one can accumulate a lot of merit by reciting these texts daily. The special qualities of Buddha expounded by Maitreya. Number one, the four immeasurables. The four immeasurables are loving kindness or benevolence, compassion, joy in the happiness of others, and equanimity. The first verse of praises composed by Maitreya refers to these four immeasurables. These may be broadly categorized into two: the intention to bring happiness to beings and the intention to benefit them. When we subdivide the two into four, the intention to bring happiness to beings is threefold. Benevolence, the wish that beings meet with happiness. Compassion, the wish that they be free from suffering. And sympathetic joy, the wish that they never be parted from happiness and that they remain free from suffering. The last of the four is the intention to benefit beings by wishing that all beings live in equanimity, that is, in a balanced state of mind, without attachment to loved ones or hatred towards others. The second quality is the eight liberations. Buddha's gnosis has the quality of eight liberations. These are various states of meditation. Ordinary people may attain some of these states of meditative absorption, such as the qualities of overcoming some of the defilements. Shravaka arhats and Pratyeka Buddhas can also attain various qualities of meditative absorption by which they can overcome all the defilements. However, they do not overcome the obscuration of phenomena. The fully enlightened Buddha possesses all the qualities of meditative absorption because he has achieved a state of meditation which completely eliminates both the obscuration of defilements and the obscuration of phenomena. The third quality is dignified suppressions. The sun suppresses the stars in a dignified and majestic way, so that when the sun shines, although the stars remain in the sky, we cannot see them. In a similar way, through various states of meditative absorption, Buddha performs miracles to help all sentient beings. Though others may be able to perform some of these, they cannot accomplish them in such a magnificent or wonderful manner as Buddha can. When Buddha performs miracles, the miracles of others pale into insignificance, just as the moon and the stars fade from the sky on a sunlit day. The fourth quality is the 10 pervasive concentrations. This refers to the qualities of Buddha's meditative absorptions and their activities. Through various meditative states, he can perform innumerable kinds of miracles. Further, through the transcendental wisdom or omniscience, he knows everything there is to know in the world. Though others can perform certain miracles or know some of things in the world, no one else knows everything. Buddha knows each and every phenomenon in its entirety. Buddha's realizations are inexhaustible and free from all opposing factors. Fifth quality is non-afflictive concentration. Through their meditation, a Shravaka arhat can stop a particular person from manifesting a particular defilement towards them. For example, if a person is angry with them, the arhat can curtail that anger. However, they are able to counteract only the one defilement directed towards them. On the other hand, through his meditation, Buddha can pacify all the manifested defilements of anyone who arouses hatred or desire, etc., towards him. Number 6, knowing from prayers. When a Shravaka arhat is asked about the future, he does not need to throw dice to make a prediction. He need only make the effort of entering into a state of meditative absorption. However, if Buddha is asked the same question, he does not even need to enter meditation absorption or make any effort at all. He can answer without hesitation. Moreover, whereas the Shravaka arhat knows only a part of the future, Buddha knows everything. Thus, he can dispel all doubts. Number 7, the 4 individually correct cognitions. First, the perfectly cognizing individual phenomena. Buddha knows all phenomena according to their individual conventional characteristics. For example, Buddha knows the defining characteristics of all kinds of form and all the varieties of mental states. Secondly, perfectly cognizing individual classifications. Buddha knows in exact detail all the varieties of phenomena. Third, perfectly cognizing individual etymologies. Buddha knows how to explain all phenomena without intermingling them. And four, perfect confidence to explain all these. Buddha does not lack confidence to explain to people what the different things in the world are. The eighth quality of a Buddha is the six clairvoyances. 1. Buddha can perform miracles through his meditative state. 2. He knows the minds of others and whether or not they possess defilements. 3. He has clairaudience. With his supernatural power of hearing, he can hear any sound from anywhere, even from the ends of the universe. 4. He knows his past lives, as well as the past lives of all sentient beings. 5. He can see the time, manner, and place of death and rebirth of every living being, and the nature of their future births. 6. He has the supernatural power of knowing the exhaustion of defiled states. In order to help beings, Buddha knows the specific means by which each being can overcome his defilements and gain the state of liberation. The ninth quality, the major and minor bodily marks. Because his body possesses the 32 major and 80 minor marks, he inspires confidence in all who see him. An example of the major marks is the protuberance on top of Buddha's head. An example of the minor marks is his slightly copper-colored fingernails. The tenth quality, the four thorough purities. First, the thorough purity of the basis. Buddha can take birth whenever he wishes in any body he chooses and remain as long as he wishes. Second, the thorough purity of object. Buddha has complete mastery over the various objective realities. For example, he can make existing things disappear and non-existing things appear. In fact, he can do whatever he wants with things in order to help sentient beings. Third, the thorough purity of enlightened thought. Since he is free from all evils and has accomplished all merits, Buddha can enter into all the meditative absorptions and use them at will. And fourth, the thorough purity of transcendental wisdom. Because he has severed the continuum of ignorance, Buddha has mastered transcendental wisdom completely free from obscurations with regard to all phenomena. The 11th quality is the 10 powers. These 10 powers apply specifically to various kinds of realization or knowledge. First, the power of understanding proper and improper cause. Some scholars have translated this into possible and impossible, but proper and improper cause is a better translation. By way of illustration, when a person experiences happiness, Buddha knows which particular virtuous deed resulted in that happiness, and that non-virtuous deeds are not the source of happiness. Second, the power of understanding karmas and their consequences. This is knowledge of the results corresponding to the range of virtuous and non-virtuous deeds. Buddha can see the specific relationship of causes and results in each instance. Third, the power of understanding the various aspirations. Buddha knows the multiplicity of aspirations possessed by disciples, such as worldly happiness and liberation. Fourth, the power of understanding the various natural temperaments. Buddha knows the desires and thoughts of individual sentient beings. He knows who belongs to the category of small, who belongs to the category of medium, and who belongs to the category of great. In other words, he knows the temporary race of each person, whether it is Shravaka, Pratyeka, or Bodhisattva. Fifth, the power of understanding the various classes of mental faculties. Buddha knows exactly who has the faculty of faith or enthusiasm, and also whether their level of faith or enthusiasm is great, medium, or inferior. Sixth, the power of understanding the various paths leading to their corresponding destinations. Buddha knows all the different paths and their corresponding results, the various worldly states and liberations. Seventh, the power of knowing all the defiled and immaculate meditative concentrations. Buddha knows all the kinds of meditative absorptions for gaining insight into all levels of worldly existence and also into the spheres of the levels of enlightenment. Eighth, the power of knowing prior births. Buddha knows not only his own previous births, but also the previous births of all sentient beings, including when, how, and where they were born in their previous lives. Ninth, the power of knowing dying and rebirth. Buddha knows the death and rebirth of every sentient being, including when, how, and where they will die, and when, how, and where they will be reborn. And tenth, the power of knowing the exhaustion of defilements. Buddha knows the extinction of all the obscurations and their latencies. Consequently, he reveals the methods for overcoming them to others who wish to learn about it. The 12th quality of the Buddha is the four kinds of fearlessness. These are also known as Buddha's four grounds of self-confidence. They are: 1, fearlessness to assert that he has extinguished all negativities. 2, fearlessness to assert that he has attained complete and perfect realization. 3, self-confidence to reveal the paths of the antidotes for the purpose of others. And 4, self-confidence to reveal the things to be discarded for the purpose of others. The first two of these pertain to his own purpose, and the latter two pertain to benefiting others. With regard to the first of these four, the Buddha is devoid of fear that anyone will challenge him or debate with him, and consequently he can proclaim in the midst of the proud that he is a completely enlightened being. With regard to the second, he has the ability to proclaim in the same manner that he has overcome all the obscurations. By contrast, if we claim to be omniscient beings, we would be afraid that others might challenge us and prove us wrong. The third and fourth kinds of fearlessness relate to others. With regard to the third, Buddha has no fear about informing beings that the path leading to worldly existence and suffering consists of deeds based on ignorance and rooted in self-grasping. With regard to the fourth, he can proclaim the path leading to liberation. He can state, for example, that through realizing the selflessness of person and the selflessness of phenomena, we can gain realization leading to complete liberation and omniscience. He is not afraid that anyone will challenge him, because he has complete understanding of the path and how to help others attain the state of liberation. The quality of not possessing three concealments. Since Buddha's body, voice, and enlightened thought are completely purified and enlightened, he does not conceal any of his activities from others. The 14th quality, the quality of applying three kinds of mindfulness. Buddha does not develop special liking for people who listen to his teachings attentively, or anger towards those who don't, for example, people who fall asleep. He neither likes nor dislikes anyone, as his mind is always in equanimity. He consequently attracts disciples in an excellent way. The 15th quality, completely eliminating all the residues. Though certain lower enlightened beings, such as Shravaka Arhats, have overcome the defilements, they have not eliminated their residues. This may be likened to washing away the dirt on a shirt, but not removing the stains. In consequence, Shravaka Arhats continue to engage in faulty physical and verbal actions. For example, while walking along a road, they may, by chance, tread on a snake and be bitten, or accidentally bump into an elephant, or be hit by a car, or fall over a cliff. On the other hand, the fully enlightened Buddhas possess complete omniscience at all times, regardless of what they do. Therefore, there can never be any fault in the activities they perform from any of the three doors of actions. The 16th quality, the quality of non-forgetfulness. From time to time, we ordinary people forget the time we are supposed to meet someone or what we have planned to do next. Even arhats sometimes forget things, since they do not have complete remembrance of everything they are supposed to do. However, the fully enlightened Buddha knows, for example, exactly when he is supposed to meet someone, and what he is supposed to do, and where he's supposed to be. There is no question that he will ever forget anything. The 17th quality is great compassion. It is said that Buddha looks with compassion upon all sentient beings of all the worldly realms, three times during the day and three times at night. Now, this is merely a figure of speech, because Buddha actually looks with compassion upon all sentient beings at all times, day and night, in order to lead them through the various paths to liberation. When the conditions are ripe for him to manifest and lead beings out of the hell realms or from worldly existence, he does so. Number 18. The 18 qualities exclusively possessed by complete Buddhas. According to the Foundation Path tradition, this refers to the 18 special qualities of Buddha we have already mentioned, namely the 10 powers, the 4 kinds of fearlessness, the quality of applying the 3 kinds of mindfulness, and great compassion. However, according to Mahayana, there is a separate set of 18 qualities exclusive to Buddha. These comprise 6 qualities of conduct, 6 qualities of realization, 3 qualities of transcendental wisdom, and three qualities of transcendental activities. So the six exclusive qualities of Buddha's conduct, first one is, it is free from physical errors. This is similar to what was mentioned above. For example, Buddha never makes bodily mistakes such as stepping on a snake or falling over a cliff. Secondly, free from nonsensical utterances. Whereas a Shravaka Arhat, for example, might shout or laugh in an improper way, Buddha never makes such mistakes with his voice, as he has complete control over it and knows how to use it properly. Third, never possesses non-meditative states. When a Shravaka Arhat awakens from meditation, they perceive the world differently from the way they perceive it during the meditative session. Thus, Shravaka Arhats experience two states of being, one during sitting meditation and the other when they are out of meditation. In other words, during the post-meditative session. By contrast, Buddha's thoughts are permanently in a state of dharmata. He does not alternate between meditation and post-meditation. Fourth, never has lapses of memory. Whereas a Shravaka Arhat may forget certain things, Buddha does not forget anything under any circumstances. Fifth, never possesses differentiating perception. Shravaka Arhats perceive cyclic existence as a state of suffering to be abandoned, and nirvana as a state of complete bliss to be attained. Buddha does not see in dualistic terms such as good and bad. This non-differentiating mode of realization is absent among the lower enlightened beings such as Shravaka Arhats. Sixth, never being neutral without having examined the being individually. Shravaka Arhats observe sentient beings from time to time to decide whether they can help them or not, but they do not do so constantly. If they don't think they can help particular beings, they leave them alone. On the other hand, Buddha observes all sentient beings at all times, regardless of the circumstances, to see whether or not he can help them. If upon investigation he finds he cannot help a particular being at that time, he does not do anything because the conditions are not ripe. When he sees that the person can be helped, he uses whatever means are appropriate. The distinction here is that Buddha observes all sentient beings at all times with a view to helping them, whereas other enlightened beings such as Shravaka Arhats, not to mention ordinary humans, do not do so all the time. Now, the six unshared qualities of realization. With regard to transcendental wisdom, complete Buddhas possess six qualities which can never be impaired. These are aspiration, enthusiasm, mindfulness, wisdom, meditative absorption, and the absence of all faults. And now the three transcendental wisdoms. This refers to Buddha's perfect knowledge of all past, present, and future events through omniscience. And then the three transcendental activities of body, voice, and transcendent mind. It is said that although Shravaka Arhats engage only in virtue, some of their actions may become neutral deeds owing to mental speculation. This wastes their time and effort. On the other hand, all deeds performed by Buddha are always based on transcendental wisdom and practiced simultaneously with transcendental wisdom. In other words, none of Buddha's deeds is ever wasted. And the 19th quality is being omniscient in every respect. The Dharmakaya is by nature pure and free from what is to be eliminated. That is, the adventitious stains of the two obscurations. The Sambhogakaya teaches the Mahayana to Bodhisattvas on the 10th stage in Akanishta, and the Nirmanakaya continually achieves the benefit of sentient beings through birth emanations, highest emanations, and artisan emanations. By the profundity of the Dharmakaya and the vastness of the two form kayas, Buddha understands phenomena exactly as they are and in all their varieties. Thus, he can resolve the doubts of all sentient beings. And the 20th quality is full accomplishment of the six perfections. Buddha has fully accomplished the six perfections and has overcome all the forces which obstruct them. For example, with regard to generosity, Buddha has accomplished the entire perfection of generosity and has defeated all obstructing forces, such as attachment to the object he is giving. With regard to his accomplishment of the perfection of morality, there is not the slightest defect. Similarly, Buddha has accomplished the remaining four perfections. Although it is said that bodhisattvas have accomplished the six perfections, they have not overcome the residual faults. These are the 20 exclusive qualities of Buddha expounded by Bodhisattva Maitreya. In clarifying the sage's intent, Sakya Pandita lists 14 additional qualities. We'll end there today, and next time we will discover Sakya Pandita's 14 additional qualities of the Buddha. And now we will dedicate our merit with the dedication prayer. By this merit, may all attain omniscience. May it defeat the enemy wrongdoing, from the stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death. From the ocean of samsara, may all beings be free. Bodhicitta is precious. May it arise in all beings in whom it has not arisen. May it never decline where it has arisen, but may it ever grow and flourish. In whatever way valiant Manjushri and Samantabhadra know how to transfer merit, so do I dedicate all my own virtues, that I might train to be like them. And through this dedication, praised as supreme by the victorious Buddhas of the past, present, and future, I, together with all sentient beings, dedicate these roots of virtue to attaining Buddhahood. May whatever virtue I may have gained by prostrating, offering, confessing, rejoicing, requesting, and beseeching be dedicated to attaining perfect enlightenment. Thank you.